This is Sound and Query, the Southern Illinois University Medical Library's podcast. I'm Lydia Howes, your host and one of many friendly librarians here. Tune in for information about the School of Medicine's activities and research, library events and resources, and anything else that we deem interesting. Every year, Southern Illinois University School of Medicine researchers publish hundreds of articles and books. To support our authors, the library updates our webpage monthly with recently published journal articles, and once a year we curate an exhibit to honor our book authors and editors. Our annual authors exhibit is currently on display and will be up until August 27th. This year, we have 8 books on display featuring 24 School of Medicine authors. Recently, I had the pleasure of chatting with Dr. Leonard Ryback, an annuitant professor of surgery at the School of Medicine who currently practices at SIU Healthcare. Dr. Ryback is a prolific author with work in our exhibit every year, and it's great to have him on Sound and Query. Hello, Dr. Ryback. Thanks so much for coming today. It's great to have you here.
You're welcome.
In the past year, 2 books that you've been working on have been published.
Yes.
And as part of our annual authors exhibit, we're displaying Cummings Otolaryngology Head and Neck Surgery, which you co-authored the chapter Vestibular and Auditory Ototoxicity. But more recently, you were an editor of the book Free Radicals in ENT Pathology.
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
Could you tell us a little bit more about this book and how it came to be?
Well, 2 of the co-editors, Dr. Joseph Miller and Dr. Colleen Laprelle, contacted me. Dr. Miller is at the University of Michigan. I've known him for a long time. And Dr. Laprelle is at, she was at the University of Florida. I think she moved recently to Texas, but I'm not sure about that. And so we've known each other for a long time, and we've had common interests in free radicals and how they affect hearing and other parts of the body.
Okay. For those of us who might not be as familiar with the biochemistry of free radicals, how exactly do they impact the ear, nose, and throat? And I think you specifically mentioned hearing.
Well, in regards to hearing, things like noise and aging can produce free radicals that over time can damage the inner ear. And then also there are certain drugs that are damaging to the ear that also produce free radicals in the tissues of the inner ear.
And what is so dangerous about these free radicals?
Well, the body has a mechanism to deal with them called antioxidant system in all parts of the body, but especially in the ear. But when those defenses are overwhelmed, then that can lead to damage.
And that's why we're encouraged to eat a lot of antioxidant-rich food?
Yeah, like broccoli.
I always think blueberries myself, but...
Oh, that's okay, too.
Now, the introduction to the book, I found a copy of the PDF through the library website, and I'll include a link by the podcast for those who might be interested. But the introduction mentions that much of the existing research in this area focuses on hearing, but there are numerous other issues that these free radicals can contribute to, such as head and neck cancer and sleep apnea.
Some areas have very few studies on free radicals in relation to pathology of the ear, nose, and throat. And so those areas are wide open for future research. You mentioned sleep apnea, of course, and then nasal polyps and other sinus disease and hereditary hearing loss, which, again, is inner ear, but it's something we didn't specifically talk about.
I did mention it in the introduction that you said you had trouble finding these things. Originally, the book was supposed to have a broader focus than the hearing.
Yes, and we were looking for authors who were willing to write chapters and who had published at least a few papers on the topic. Otherwise, it would be a very short chapter.
Yeah. Why do you think hearing is so far in the forefront of these research areas, and what needs to be done in order to catch up in these other areas of interest?
I think one of the things is that... We have a number of different animal models and cell systems of the inner ear that we can look at and study in more detail than can be done in the whole person. And so that's one area that can be targeted specifically to look at free radicals.
You did mention to me that you recently attended a meeting in Amsterdam that you sounded kind of excited about.
Well, that was in relation to the preparation of the book. We met together with several of the authors, and we discussed issues for the future. And that was kind of the last part of the book.
Okay.
some issues that we felt needed to be looked at in the future in regard to free radicals. We talk about overarching challenges of this topic, free radicals and ENT pathology, and we listed a number of different challenges in this research for the future. And so those will be interesting to look at, along with targets of opportunity, areas to look at for future research.
So people that are trying to get into research maybe could look at the conclusion and get a few ideas.
Yes, if they're interested in this topic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Of course, you don't want to be researching something that force you to tears.
Yes, you're right. The research isn't for everybody, and just like medicine's not for everybody. And so some people prefer to do strictly clinical practice, which is fine. Others like to do a combination, which I do, mm-hmm. clinical practice and research, and others like to do purely research. So it all's up to the individual.
And in addition to these two books that we've been discussing, you also author plenty of articles. You're actually a fairly prolific writer, I've noticed, and you're featured almost every single year in our author's exhibit. What are you currently working on?
Well, we're continuing to investigate the effects of cisplatin, an anti-cancer drug, on the inner ear, and looking at ways that we can develop treatments that can prevent that or at least reduce it.
Are there any specific treatments you'd like to mention?
Well, right now we're working on capsaicin, which is a hot chili pepper extract, and it sounds like it might be a long shot, but it seems to be working in the animals, and it doesn't seem to cause them any distress when you administer to them.
Okay, so they aren't. How do you administer it? I'm guessing you don't just feed them peppers.
Well, not peppers per se, but we use the extract capsaicin,
okay.
and dissolve it in liquid and give it by an oral feeding tube, like we feed infants who have trouble swallowing, and also for adults who have swallowing difficulties. So we put it directly into the stomach, and the animals are not bothered by it because it's a dilute concentration.
Okay. What led you to capsaicin?
Oh, it was interesting. There are a number of different plant extracts that have antioxidant properties, and capsaicin is one of them. And I've discovered an article that was published in Japan a few years ago showing that capsaicin protected against cisplatin damage to the kidney, which is another area that we're studying indirectly because we're studying the whole animal and we can look at the kidneys also. We haven't done much with the kidney with capsaicin so far, but that's a future direction too.
And I understand that this work is being supported by a fairly long-standing grant.
Yes, a grant from NIH that we're in our 19th year now.
Oh, 19th year.
Yes. not specifically on capsaicin, but on cisplatin. Mm-hmm.
And how long is the current iteration of this grant?
Current grant is a 5-year grant, and we're in the second year of those 5 years.
Okay, so you still have several more years of research?
Yes.
Do you think you'll try extending after that, or...?
We'll see. We'll see how my health holds up and how things go.
Moving on a little bit from the more specifics of your research, how did you get involved so heavily in research and writing? Is writing itself something you enjoy, or were you more drawn to the research?
I've always been interested in research probably since high school, and I thought I want to somehow get involved in research. And so I ended up going to pharmacy school and had some electives, which didn't involve a lot of research, but didn't involve a lot of study. And then in medical school, I got to do an article on sinus cancer. I did a review of that, and then that led me to get further involved in research during my residency at Minnesota.
Do you do any other writing or...
I've done some writing for medical ethics, and I have a chapter that's supposed to get published sometime within the next year, but we'll see.
Okay. So hopefully that will be on display next year in our exhibit.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Do you have any tips for students or researchers that are interested in getting published or doing their own research?
It starts with a very strong inner drive, a desire to do research, to be inquisitive, and to be willing to go through the struggles of learning how to write, because it's not necessarily something that's intuitive. It's something that you have to learn, especially like with grant writing. There's a fine art to that in order to communicate your thoughts to the reviewers and to present things in such a way that they look attractive and promising.
Mm-hmm. And I just know from reading scientific articles, it's a whole other beast than sitting down and writing your English paper in high school. It's a very different type of sentence structure and language.
Yes, just like scientific German and conversational German.
Well, thank you again so much for coming and speaking with me. We're thrilled whenever we get somebody to come be on our podcast.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Of course, anytime.
Thanks for listening to Sound and Query. For more information about the library, its services and resources, or to learn about future events and podcasts, please visit our website at www.siumed.edu/lib.